Are you looking for a new math curriculum? CTC Math specializes in providing online video tutorials that take a multi-sensory approach to learning. Creative graphics and animation, synchronized with the friendly voice of internationally acclaimed teacher Pat Murray, make learning math easy and effective. Favorably reviewed in Kathy Duffy's 102 Top Picks and the Old Schoolhouse Crew Review, the lessons are short and concise to help your child break down concepts and appreciate math in a whole new way. Visit ctcmath.com today to start your free trial. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. This is part two of my interview with Barb and Rich Heckey, where we are talking about homeschool grandparents, or better yet, grandparents of homeschoolers, which is their ministry that they have. And so enjoy this second part of my conversation with them.
We try to impress on parents as well as grandchildren that our parents did the very best they could with the tools they had at the time. And back in the day, homeschooling wasn't even on the radar. Modern homeschooling wasn't right. even on the radar at that time. So the thought probably never even occurred to them that that could be done. But, you know, back in the founding of this country, all the founding fathers were homeschooled. And I think all the presidents, I believe, on Mount Rushmore were homeschooled. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a rich heritage in homeschooling. Yeah. And but now that we have these tools, and in many ways it's getting more and more easy to homeschool because of the internet and through all the resources that are now available, it's making the job of the parents that much more organized and easier to do mm-hmm. for homeschooling. So you know, it's a little bit easier now in some ways to convince the parents that, but it's still. There still is opposition out there, and we still have to do a lot of education on that.
There's yeah. two things that I think are key too in dealing with that, and one is what is the missing element in all of this, especially for Christian grandparents. The missing element is Jesus Christ, because what educational, you know, situation is going to glorify Christ, teach the kids to love and honor Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? It's not going to be, you know, a public school. It's not going to happen there. Right. And so to be looking at that, the other thing is the most effective way to get really oppositional grandparents to kind of come on board in homeschooling is to get them involved because right. it's hard to oppose something that you are involved in. Right. So if you can have them teach a skill they know, that's pretty easy. Yeah. And, you know, maybe mom and dad don't want to ask them grandparents to do that. Maybe the grandkids can say, Grandma and Grandpa, will you teach me XXX? And then after that is done, then mom and dad put it in under the proper academic category and their records and stuff, and to say, you know, thanks Grandma and Grandpa for helping teach science. You know, yeah. we put that in our official records. You've helped teach them science today. And so anyway, that's a big help.
Yeah. I think that's fantastic. So, I think one of the greatest things that any grandparent, whether grandmother or grandfather, can do if they're local is to just offer your presence. Especially if you have a child, you know, if your child has multiple children that they're trying to homeschool, or if they're only trying to homeschool one and maybe they've got a baby underfoot or a toddler right. or something like that. And just having grandma come over, or grandpa come over maybe once a week or twice a week or something, just for a few hours, and hold the baby, feed the baby, fold laundry, help with some dishes, just help in some way. Yeah. I think that most grandparents don't understand the desperate need that most moms feel
yeah.
for that support, and just for someone else to come alongside them and just say, okay, how can I help you? What can I do?
Yeah.
Can I just silently fold laundry? Can I just play with the baby for a little bit? Just to give mom a little bit of a break and to give her the opportunity to maybe catch up on lesson plans if she wants to do that, or to just sit and read with her child, or to take her older one to the park, or to get ice cream or something like that, just so that mom can be more effective in her role as mom and as homeschool mom and all the things that she has lined up. And, you know, I've often thought that I wish that, and I shouldn't even just say grandparents, and that I wish that there were more retired, if you will, homeschool moms who would seek out younger homeschool moms in their churches and their communities and their neighborhoods and just say, hey, can I come over and just help you? What can I do? How can I be a blessing to you? And most moms would eat that up. You know, you've got the introverted mom who maybe wouldn't want that so much, but I think that's probably not the norm. So what are some ways you had mentioned earlier about how grandparents can be involved and from a distance? So if grandma and grandpa, like you guys, you live 1,000 miles from your grandchildren, how can you be involved? How do you find yourselves being able to do that?
A lot of stuff over Skype. You can do things. I mean, not Skype, but, you know, just online chats, video chats. Yep. We've written books or short stories together. We've done books too, like picture books. But, you know, we'll just start out and, you know, our granddaughter will maybe write a sentence or two, and then we'll write a sentence or two, and we just keep writing the story together. Or you encourage them in writing the story. You ask questions, what happened next? And if they're too young to write, you take down what they say and type down what they say. If they're a teenager, you know, they can go on and type on their own, but just help them with a story, writing that. Things that they can do online is you can do just about anything, really. We've looked up pictures on the internet and studied animals, different things like that. The Fibonacci numbers are really fun because anything that you can do sitting beside each other on a couch, you can also do in a video chat. Sure. You can have a copy of the same book that they have and you can read it back and forth to each other. And for older kids and teenagers too, that is really neat. Reading aloud and going through a book.
Yeah.
And possibly they're learning some Bible verses either through Awana or just through their folks, but grandparents would be a great way for the children to be learning their verses if they could recite it to grandma and grandpa.
Yeah.
And then they could coach them and help them out with that. And
yeah, so fun.
About half of grandparents live long distance from their grandchildren. Mm-hmm. So you've got half of them doing long distance things. But the other statistic we ran into is that 90% of grandchildren say that their grandparents had a tremendous influence on their values and their behavior. Mm. So what is that? That's discipleship.
Yeah.
Because their values come from being discipled and the behavior is played out from their values. So grandparents who live long distance should be really encouraged because they have a huge influence and they need to just take as many opportunities as they can to do things by distance with the grandkids. And then when they go there, you know, you can do so many more things and can continue that. We always bring like art projects or science projects in our suitcase and stuff. And now our granddaughter asks us every time we come, Grandma and Grandpa, do you have something for us in your suitcase? I mean, it's like, so it has to be, it's a neat tradition and a neat memory too.
Learning to write well in order to effectively communicate ideas can be a challenge for many students. Equipping teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers is key. The Institute for Excellence in Writing is an organization dedicated to training, mentoring, and providing a model for teachers in a clear, sequential, and effective method of teaching writing that reinforces history, science, literature, and other content areas.
Our methodology begins with dictated content. So rather than saying to a child, here, think of something and learn to write, we actually give them the content, and through our 9 units, gradually wean them from dictated content to that blank page.
Through the process of learning to write well, students learn how to think clearly and to express themselves eloquently and persuasively. For more information or to order the program, visit IEW.com.
Hey guys, this is Brooklyn Hampton. Have you left a review for the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast yet? If you haven't, then pause the show right now and go do it. Don't worry, I'll wait. Have you done it yet? Great. Then back to the show.
I love the idea of grandparents being involved through just activities like reading. I mean, how easy would it be for, you know, with the technology we have today? I mean, it's so easy and amazing, even though you're not there in person, but to open up a book and flip it around and show them the pictures and be able to just have them see your faces and get to know you without having to be physically present. You know, it's the next best thing, truly.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
And what a blessing it is that in our day and age, we have the ability to do that. So I know, you know, we've talked about so many times the whole issue of socialization and how that's the big thing. And I know that with a lot of grandparents, because they don't quite understand homeschooling, and that is the number one reason why grandparents are not supportive of homeschooling, because they simply don't understand it. That is one of the main reasons why we are making this documentary, Schoolhouse Rocked, because we really want to open up people's eyes to this is what homeschooling looks like. This is why it's beneficial. These are the great blessings of homeschooling. And so talk about, if you were talking to a grandparent, just let's role play for a minute and say you come face to face with another set of grandparents who are saying to you, my child wants to homeschool my grandkids, and I'm really not comfortable with it because I think they're going to be unsocialized.
Mm-hmm.
How do you answer that question?
I answer it with questions. I ask them first, who is it that does the socializing in whatever environment they're in, whether it's the home, a public school, or whatever? And then what is the content of that socialization? Mm-hmm. So they need to think about what socialization in a different environment really is. Is that what they really want? Does it glorify Jesus Christ? They need to hone down to what they think socialization is. And basically in a traditional school, it's going to be the teachers there and their peers, and probably about 10% teachers and 90% peers.
Right.
But the teacher is has a lot of influence too, because Jesus said that, you know, the goal of education is to become like your teacher.
Right.
And so do we want the grandkids to become like their parents, or do we want them to become like some random teacher who was assigned to them in a classroom and students who just happened to sit next to them, you know, at a desk, just to get them to think through that, because they really don't think through it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And another thing with socialization, most children that I've seen that have been homeschooled very readily can communicate with adults and have a conversation with them.
Right.
Think about it a minute. How natural is it to be in a class of 30 children, all the same age, not even a variance in the ages. Right. They're just all with the same age. And then you look at society. Where is that replicated in society? It's not. Mm-hmm. It's just that one particular situation.
Right.
And we see it as being, you know, people like to throw around the word diversity. Well, it's a lot more diverse to be in a homeschool setting where you're interacting with all sorts of different ages, and you're interacting with parents. And a lot of times as homeschoolers, we'll go on field trips with our children. They get to interact with adults. They get to learn about maybe another occupation and what they do. And so they're being exposed to a whole lot more of life than in a closed classroom.
Mm-hmm. And there are going to be kids that are shy and withdrawn in the homeschooled environment and in the public school environment. And the opposite is true as well. It's just people are different. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I did, like he mentioned, I like to research. Okay. So when I was first looking into homeschooling, I had this list of, I don't know, probably 30 questions I asked. And I asked the one friend we knew who was homeschooling for names of other homeschoolers. So I called them all. And I, you know, went through the list of all my questions. And then I asked them for names of people they knew. And so like, I called all of these people.
Yeah.
And after about the first three people, I crossed the socialization questions off my list. I mean, it wasn't even an issue.
Right. No, it's not an issue at all. Mm-hmm. You know, we've learned that, and it's kind of funny. I always kind of chuckle inside when people actually bring that up. And, you know,
I
always just want to say, you know, well, look at most kids, not all, but look at most kids coming out of the public school and tell me which one of those characteristics you would like my children to emulate.
I know.
Not many of them.
Yeah.
And you know, not that every public school child is, you know, a terrible example,
but
many of them are. We know a lot of them. And not that every homeschool kid is perfect. They're not. We know a lot of them too. But overall, you know, I certainly would want our kids to be, to have Christ-like character and to spend their time with other kids whose parents have the same goals in mind that we do and who are running down the same path as us. So that's important. So let's talk about family tree.
Family tree is a really fun thing that grandparents can do with their grandkids, whether they're locally or long distance, because they've got some of the personal memories too that go back further than the parents. But the one thing that we tell grandparents to do is to do a twist on the family tree. So don't just record the names and the dates. You need that to have your framework, but look at character. Mm-hmm. Talk about what that person was like. Were they a Christian? Were they not? What was their character like? And how did that impact their life and what happened to them? I mean, you can get into stuff, all kinds of discussions on what just the impact of good character and bad character. And that also leads into the goal that we want to get into lots of discussions with grandparents and grandchildren is salvation, because that's the key difference in a family tree. People don't think about salvation. Mm. They're just who begat who, you know? But you know, what happened to these people based on their faith or lack thereof? And then that weaves right into a gospel message and a deep conversation with the grandkids about, you know, where they stand and in their salvation and their faith, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's fantastic. I love the idea of family trees and going back to figuring out where we came from, you know.
Yeah.
All of the grandparents have played a role in some way that has led their grandchildren to be where they are in life. And we are out of time for the podcast. I would love to continue going on and on, but I am so grateful for you. I'm grateful for your ministry to grandparents and to parents alike. Where can people find out more about you?
If they go to our website, it's just grandparentsofhomeschoolers.org.
Okay.
And if they can click on join, it's free. They just fill in the information and then they will get resources and things that we send out. We're going to be launching some things in the first quarter, new resources for grandparents, and they'll get messages as to how they can get a hold of these and free resources. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And am I correct that you actually speak at some conventions across the country, right?
Internationally as well.
Oh, wow. Okay. Do you know yet where you're going to be, or are you not exactly sure?
We don't have this everything tied down this spring yet, but if they're in an area where there's a homeschool convention or an online convention, they can look for us and just Google us.
Okay. Do you keep that on your website? Do you have a list of where you're going to be?
We will. It's okay. We need to update
it. It's in the works. Okay.
Yeah, it's in the works. So
okay. Well, we will put.
So yeah,
we'll put a link to your website in there.
Okay.
Grandparentsofhomeschoolers.org. Yep. And thank you both for your ministry. Thank you for the heart that you have for homeschool families and just for what the Lord is doing through you. You are a great blessing, and it's been fun having you on the podcast. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. It's great.
Thank you so much. All right, you guys, thank you for listening. We will see you back here again next week. Have a great day.